is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, another candidate interview. Jeff Goodman, a Republican candidate for state treasurer, joining us from Lake Oswego. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you for asking.
So talk about your background, kind of what you've done in life, your education, things like that.
Certainly. I think an important message is I'm second-generation Oregonian, born, raised, lived, and I will spend the balance of my days here. It's a state where I love. My schooling included a BA in economics from Pomona College, an MBA from the Wharton School of Business. And what's important about that is that after I graduated from business school, I had the opportunity to go to work anywhere in the country. And I made a conscious choice to come back to Oregon because it's where family is, where friends are, but more importantly, it's a place that I love. In my work career, I've been a financial analyst. I've been a controller. I have been a treasurer in the private sector. For large Fortune 500 companies and for startup companies. On the volunteer side, I've been engaged in a variety of organizations, more often than not serving as the treasurer, but sometimes as the chair. One of the volunteer organizations I'm particularly pleased with was USA Olympic Swimming, where I served as on the board for 12 years and the treasurer for four. And I had the opportunity of being asked to be an official at the USA Swimming Olympic Trials in 2008, 12, and 16. I'm currently the treasurer of an organization called Clackamas Volunteers in Medicine, which provides basic medical care to those most in need here in Clackamas County. Had 8 years of service on the Lake Oswego City Council, where my focus was on the finances of the city and infrastructure, and by the way, did I mention infrastructure?
I want to mention as well that your interest tied with USA Olympic Swimming, I understand you've got a little experience in that arena yourself.
I did when I was in college. I had the good fortune of being a part of two different All-American relays for the NC2A Division III level. And I've been involved in the sport all my life and continue to volunteer and help out where I can.
When people look at the state treasurer on the ballot, a lot of times folks kind of glaze over and they're not exactly sure what that means. How would you describe the role of the state treasurer?
That's a great question. It's as I've commented about this, that when somebody who's 18 or 20 years old wakes up in the morning, they don't wake up and say, I want to be the treasurer of Oregon. But as I've looked back in the arc of my life with all of my education, with my work experience, with my volunteer experience, and then with my service on the city council, led me to say in 2016, when the position came open, I said, wait a minute, I can do this and I can make a contribution. And I'm not interested in being anything other than treasurer. So let's go for it. And I did in 2016 and came very, very close to winning despite being outspent 5-1. So what's the treasurer do? People have a vision of the treasurer sitting in the basement of the Capitol with a green eye shade counting the money. The job of the treasurer is not to count the money. It's to help make the money count. And the great example of that is one that's hit a lot of people where our current treasurer has just not provided the oversight that he should have. And that's the debacle with the employment division, not getting the $600 a week out to the people who so desperately needed it when they were during their unemployment. And that's unacceptable, and it's not going to happen on my watch.
Should the Office of State Treasurer be a partisan office?
I think the job of the treasurer is much more technical, is to get the best returns you can for the retirement system and the investments of the state, which are in excess of $100 billion, subject to the risk profile that you have for all of the investments. Sorry for going a little wonky on you. So for the most part, the job is a nonpartisan job. We elect people based on party, and there's always going to be certain elements of that that will creep into it. But for the most part, it is a nonpartisan job, and so you want to look for competence, not party registration.
And as we've talked in other interviews, all the state top position, governor on down, are all partisan roles, but a lot of people have wondered about that, especially for the treasurer and the secretary of state position, and I don't know if that will be something that ever changes, but certainly it does get discussed about periodically. With your background, what made you decide to run for this office?
Certainly. In 2016, it was, the position is open and I can do this. I came so very close in 2016, mentioned it was outspent 5-1 and lost by only 42,000 votes, 2.4 percentage points, which quite frankly was better than almost any Republican statewide has done in the last 20, 25 years. And one of the reasons that I was did not get into the office, you had a third-party independent candidate, former Republican State Senator Chris Telfer, very capable. She ran as the independent party candidate, and she received 175,000 votes. As you recall, I lost by 42,000. So I believe if she had not been in the race, those votes would have come to me, and we'd be having a conversation now about running for my second term.
What is it, though, about this? I mean, you've worked in these different arenas of finance. What interests you about doing it on the statewide level?
It's part of this is just, it's a big chunk of it. I can make a difference. That's number one. I've got 40 years experience on Treasury issues. My opponent does not have anything near that, and he's using it as a stepping stone to become governor. These things that I can bring to bear on it is just simply asking questions that are not being asked now. Another example is, and again, I'm going a little wonky on you. I hope that's okay. Is, you know, every 2 years, the state treasurer issues a letter to the governor and the legislature saying, here is the additional debt capacity of the state, how much more debt that you can issue. And then basically says, governor and legislature, go play with it. Well, I think the treasurer should have a role that goes along when they say, here's how much additional debt the state can afford, to say, and here are the projects which we're going to get the biggest bang for the buck based upon the following criteria. You know, governor, legislature, you can change it, but here's what the best professional advice is about where we're going to maximize the return that we get on those dollars that we spend from the debt that we issue. To me, that's a pretty straightforward change. It's something I was able to help put in place when I served on the city council. I want to apply that same kind of approach to serving as Oregon's next treasurer.
I want to ask about that time on the council. I was looking at your website a bit ago in preparation for this interview. Talk about some of the things that you felt like you made a difference on during your time on the Lake Oswego City Council.
You bet. There are several things that I'm pleased with, and I want to emphasize, I mean, it's a team approach, but someone has to take the lead. Number one is I was able to inform and persuade my colleagues as well as the residents of the city to support it, because if you don't have the backing of the residents of the city, it doesn't matter what you're trying to argue for, is the replacement of the Operations and Maintenance Center without asking the residents for one additional dime. And we did, and it had to be replaced. The building in the winter, it leaked, and they had buckets on the floor, and it was a tin roof, so in the summer it was blazingly hot. And so the people, the employees of the city, couldn't do the job for the city they wanted to do in that kind of environment. Secondly, was the replacement of the ongoing, right now it's being constructed, replacement of the police station, City Hall, and again, doing it without asking the residents for one additional dime by adopting the financing plan that I put in place. Third was the getting the focus on road maintenance, bringing our roads up to standard. And the quality of our roads have been deteriorating in the decade prior to my going on council. And by using a narrow and deep approach, we were able to redirect dollars into road maintenance, and now the roads are actually getting better. And we did that in a very thoughtful, careful way by focusing the dollars We also reduced a couple of city services, which did mean laying off some people, some of which was done through direct layoff, other which was done through attrition. It was done in close consultation, you know, with the union, so to do it as fairly as possible. But what I'm particularly pleased about the efforts I was able to help take a lead on in improving the infrastructure of the city. And I've said this on many occasions, you cannot have a first-rate quality of life without a first-rate infrastructure.
Jeff Goodman, Republican candidate for state treasurer. More when we come back after a two-minute break. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. A candidate interview on Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. On Monday's program, Karma Mornarich and Abby Malik of Glide Revitalization will talk about the long-term efforts and some of the work underway to begin and continue and move to another phase of recovery projects from the Archie Creek fire and the other fires in the area. That's on Monday's program. Tuesday, State Treasurer Tobias Reed will join us. Today, we're talking to the Republican candidate for that job, Jeff Goodman, joining us from Lake Oswego. If you are elected, what are some of the changes you would like to make in how the Office of State Treasurer is operated?
Certainly. Well, I've mentioned one of those that I would like to do, which is the ranking of infrastructure projects, working with the very capable people in the state so as to help the legislature and the governor do their job better. Number two is, and this is something, you know, my opponent does not want to acknowledge, we have a challenge in our PERS retirement system. We cannot earn our way out of it. I wish we could, but it's not going to happen. And there are no good answers. The courts have made it very clear you can make changes going forward, but you make no changes to what which has already been earned. And so we have the obligation. We do want to get good employees at the right time and the right job with the right program. And I've commented in public and in writing about the goal of getting to 50% of final average salary. But we cannot earn our way out of it. And it means there's going to be any choice that we have, there is no good choice. So I want to bring together a team of people representing all aspects in Oregon, management, union, lawyers, actuaries, accountants, average citizens, all the people to come together, bring them up to speed, and have them develop recommendations, which then I, as the lead, would take the efforts to the legislature. And that's one of the big differences between myself and my opponent, Mr. Reed. I never know which Mr. Reed is going to show up. One Mr. Reed is, I don't speak out on issues that don't impact the treasurer, that are not directly related to the treasurer's office. And the other Mr. Reed is the one who, whenever there's anything good to announce that has to do with money, he's right out front. PERS is but one example. He only wants to talk about the investing side. He doesn't want to talk about the obligation side. That's a mistake, because he has proclaimed himself, in his words, not mine, the financial navigator for policies in the state. Number two, you're not going to see me going out and spending money, $200,000, to get a new logo for the treasurer's office. The logo was fine. Didn't need $200,000. That's money that could have been better used elsewhere. You're not going to see me going out and spending $250,000 on a video advertising the mandatory program Oregon Saves, with him in a cringy video wearing a cowboy suit, again, advertising a mandatory program. You do not see the treasurer's office, or you don't see the insurance division in Oregon advertising workers' comp because it's a mandatory program. You sign up. So these are the kinds of watchful of the dollars. Another area I briefly referenced before is what happened with the employment division. I look at that and saying, wait a minute, the treasurer is in charge of the balance sheet of the state. If you, an individual, say, wanted to remodel a portion of your house, and you did go out and you get a bid from a contractor, the contractor says, okay, I can do the job in 2 months, and it's going to cost you $10,000. And you say, okay, let's go ahead and do it. And a month goes by, and you talk with the contractor, and he says, well, and you ask him, how much you're done are you? And he says, well, I'm 60% done. And you say, okay, great. How much of the money have you spent? Well, I've spent 70% of the money. Well, that leads you to a bunch of questions you start asking. That lack of oversight on the part of the treasurer is unacceptable in the Employment Division project, the upgrade of the contributing system, and it's unacceptable for all the capital projects of the state. The treasurer doesn't have direct control over those projects, but they do have oversight that they can report on, and that's something that I'll do. And an example of that, you know, when this came up before, when this, the debacle with the Employment Division came up, Mr. Reed's response was, well, I guess it shows the importance of spending on infrastructure when the public's not paying attention. You know, that's not acceptable. And he's had 4 years in office, and when he was in the legislature, he was the chair of the committee in 2015 that didn't want to spend the money on the Employment Division technology upgrade because his comment was, we don't trust management. Well, guess what, Mr. Reed? You've been management for the last 4 years. So those are some of the things that I would do differently.
What about, you talk about some of the technology changes. It seems like there are a lot of places in state government where the technology, whether it's the Employment Department, the DMV, is lagging dramatically behind what you might find in other government agencies or in the private sector.
You could add Cover Oregon to the list. And yes, you're right. And this is because this is where the treasurer's office, to your earlier point that we talked about, is much more a nonpartisan office. And there was recently an interview of a professor of political science at Reed College here in Portland. And he was saying, you know, he was talking about these debacles. And he said, there's something different in Oregon as to why we can't seem to do the projects. The money is there, but we don't seem to do these project rights. And I think a function of that is that you had dominance of one party for an awfully long time in our state. And I would say this, whether it was Democrat or Republican, when you have dominance of one party at all levels of government, you tend to get lax about things. And if you think about the three projects, Cover Oregon, the DMV, and now the Employment Division, I haven't seen any elected heads lose office because of those debacles. And that's just, you know, that's not right. But you have that because I think partially related to the dominance of one party.
What would your first month be like if you're elected state treasurer? What would you be trying to go in and do right at the front end?
Certainly. This is a small thing, and my campaign strategist tells me I should not bring it up, but I will. Right now, when you go to the Treasury website, the first thing that pops up is a picture of Tobias Reed, the treasurer. I would want that picture taken down and replaced with a picture of the entire team of people in the treasurer's office. The 200 or so, give or take, people, is it's a team effort. I just happen to be the elected head. You don't accomplish things on your own. You accomplish things through a team. Number two is I don't have the extensive relationships in Salem of knowing all the people for an extended period of time. That has both pluses and minuses. So I'd want to be spending the first amount of time in the month in office getting to know the elected leadership and indeed all of the members of the legislature that I have not met, to begin the process of getting those relationships so we can have discussions on a substantive basis and yet walk away if we disagree without being disagreeable about it. I'd want to initiate the process of getting those infrastructure projects ranked. I'm not sure that could be done in time for the legislative session in 2021, but I would want to try. And we want to initiate the process of moving forward to address the challenge of PERS, because that unfunded liability, which is likely to be about $30 billion, we can't address it. Can't be done fixed overnight, but we got to start the process.
Jeff Goodman, the Republican candidate for state treasurer, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for asking, and be well.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.